Welcome to the April Kirkwood Show, the podcast which helps develop and strengthen the soulful self. April's guests share their personal experiences, which have helped them discover the true worth within themselves. Through their stories, you will gain inspiration to reveal and multiply the very best in you. And now, here's April.
Have you ever felt like you weren't loved? Or maybe that you really aren't that loving. Perhaps there's a little anger going on within you and you're not really sure how to get rid of it. I mean, we all want to be happy, but sometimes we don't know how to be happy. Or perhaps we want to be respectful, but sometimes people say things to you and you shoot off your mouth and boom, you're in that dark place again. Maybe you want to be more sacred. You don't even know what the word soul means. You haven't perhaps had that aha moment that's available to you and everyone else. Well, at this time, I want to introduce a guest, and his specialty is working with teens, love, respect, responsibility, and one of my favorite words, sacredness, because truly each of you are sacred. We are housing our soul to learn the lessons of life. So at this time, I want to introduce Scott. Is it Freed?
It's Freed.
Freed, okay. He is a health educator. I'm an educator as well. He's an international public speaker, author, adjunct professor at Colby College, and he is out and about. He's got books published. If I Grow Up, Talking with Teens About AIDS, and there's been some big changes in AIDS treatment too, thank goodness. Loving and Staying Alive, My Invisible Kingdom, oh, that resonates with me so much. And Letters from the Secret Lives of Teens. Parents, you need to read some of these books, especially that one, because there is a disconnect between parents and teens so many times, and that's why we wake up one day and we go in their bedroom and we find all kinds of drugs and things like that, or unexpected pregnancies or poor grades. As a guidance counselor, I would see this trickle-down effect, and parents sometimes, they're just caught off guard and they don't know what they're doing. So, Scott, you are on, baby. You are going to heal the world right now. Tell us who you are, tell us what you do, and tell us if you have someone out there that is listening and is confused about their life and love and the drama, and they've lost their own self-respect. We're all filled with such guilt. You know, they say that God is going to punish you. God is not going to punish you. We're punishing ourselves.
That's true.
So that, and I've got to tell you, if you're not seeing him, Scott's gorgeous. So you're going to want to go see him speak.
So thank you, April. Thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, we are our own worst enemy. The whole idea of sacredness came to me from a letter that I received from a teenager. So I'm a health educator, public speaker, motivational speaker. And I work around the world, but mostly in the United States. I travel to high schools and universities, and sometimes to middle schools, and I work with teenagers, and I love working with the parents of teenagers as well. And in one of my travels, I received a letter from a beautiful young woman at a university, and it was at a time when we wrote handwritten letters, just a while ago, before people would slide into my DM or send something through Snapchat. So she'd written a beautiful handwritten letter and mailed it, and she wrote in the letter that she's scared of getting pregnant, and she's scared of getting an STD, and she's scared most of all of rejection. And she wondered if I could write back with some suggestions. And I did, and the first thing I noticed was that she did, because it was handwritten, she didn't have autocorrect. She didn't delete and change the letters. She wrote the word S-A-C-R-E-D, sacred. Crossed it out, and then wrote next to it the word scared. And so I wrote her back. Meredith was her name. You got it right the first time. The day that you can write the words or text the words or Snapchat the words. The day that you can Instagram the words, breathe and meditate, and ultimately believe the words, I am sacred, and not cross it out. That's when we get to have the conversation you want to have, whether it's about an STD, about pregnancy, about rejection. But everything begins with an understanding that you are sacred as you are. So when I talk about sacredness with teenagers, I'm talking about the part of them that can never, ever be unfriended. That's the language in which they relate, the part that can't be unloved or ghosted, the part that can't really get rejected because it's the part of them that is holy. It's the part in every one of us that wants to believe that we belong. Those negative core beliefs that we hold on to our entire lives that were implanted into our psyches, our souls, and somehow we carry those words with us throughout the rest of our lives. Those words from our childhood, I'm defective, I am not enough, I'm no one's equal. If you knew the real me, you would not love me. We grow into young adults and then ultimately into adults, into grown men and women who, without taking a deeper look, hold onto those words in our pockets. I'm defective. If they knew the real me, they wouldn't love me. I'm an imposter. And we go through life holding on to those beliefs. The whole idea of being sacred is being able to take out those words from your pockets, lay them out in front of you, and realize that they're not your identity. They're just what we're afraid might be our truth. It's what we call a shadow. It's the part of us that we bury, the part that we hide and deny. And sometimes it's the part that we project onto others. So think about the teenager or even the adult who bullies or picks on somebody else because they don't want to look at their own inner ugliness or what they perceive to be an inner ugliness, which really isn't ugly at all. It's just a part of ourselves that we haven't taken a chance to look at. And in the presence of a loving other, someone like you, April, or like me, or people that we choose who will receive us, in the presence of loving others, we take those words out of our pockets. We say, I'm scared. We say, I don't think I belong. And the loving other, the good friend, the BFF in our lives will say to us, I see you, and I know there's more to you. Right. And I believe what's beneath those words, which is the truth of who you are, that you do belong, that you are enough, that you are lovable, completely lovable. And when I say to teenagers and parents of teenagers that you are completely lovable, I'm not talking about lovable on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about lovable with a good hair day. And I'm not talking about you are lovable when you have a good report card. When we're speaking to teenagers, I mean completely lovable in the dark days, in those moments when you think that you're not enough, always sacred and lovable.
When you tell children or adults, because I noticed when we have these feelings of if you knew me, you wouldn't love me, or I'm not worthy of love. What happens is you create a pattern of attracting people that reconfirm. If I say I'm no good, believe it or not, I will have so much power, I will attract other people that will tell me I'm no good on some level. Now, this is all very subconscious. Nobody literally goes out and says, gee, I want somebody to beat me up emotionally or cheat on me or lie to me or dump me when they get something better. But these statements that are laid out, when we lay them out, how can we go through steps so we stop attracting the same things? Because right. Then after so many years, you're like my age and it's become your life.
And you start to really believe that this is the only way it can be. It must be true. I must really be defective. I will never be enough. Everybody else is better than me. I don't belong. And it becomes a truth as opposed to what we were afraid was true. So what you're talking about is something called what I like to call engineering a scenario. We see what we only know, right? So we go through life engineering scenarios with relationships and people, with people who remind us or trigger for us earlier memories or times in our lives when the affirmation first arrived.
Example, men always leave. My daddy left. Women are no good. Women don't really like men. Women are should be kept in the basement cooking. I mean, these.
Right. So the term for it, the term for those is, it's a psychological term. It's called introjection. Introjection means into, inside of, and project. To project into somebody, you internalize, you get messages. We get messages all through life, especially in the formative years in our childhood. And we internalize those messages. Good girls always have to keep their mouths shut. Boys don't cry. Men will always leave. I can't get ahead. Whatever it is, we internalize those messages. And so the answer to your question, how do you change the direction? How do you stop the cycle? The first thing you got to do is take the words out of your pockets. The first thing you have to do is acknowledge and accept that there is a negative cognition. Step one, in any organization, whether it's AA or 12 steps of any kind, or in any life-changing situation, is always accepting the situation, acknowledging we have an issue here, right? So the first thing you do is you take literally or metaphorically those words out of your pockets, lay them out in front of you and say, I feel defective. I feel fat. I am not enough. And you acknowledge that that is a belief system you're holding. Maybe it's not true. Certainly it's not true. But the first thing you do is acknowledge it's there. The next thing you do is try to figure out where those messages came from. Who gave you that message? Whose voice is that? The introjection part. Where did you, and what point in your life did you internalize a message that said, I don't belong, or if I speak up, I will be ignored, or I am not as beautiful as all the others because I was called certain names when I was younger. So when you find the voice, the message, whose voice it is, then you get to separate yourself from the actual message. You are not the message. You are the one to whom the message was delivered. You are the one who received it and then translated it as and owned it as your own. And so the second step is to find out where the whose voice it is, where the message came. And then the final, not the final, but the third, but really important step, April, is to be able to say, to be able to turn it around with positive belief system, positive affirmations. So if you remember the movie, The Help, mm-hmm. The character years ago, the character played by Viola Davis, she was a nanny, and she'd always get down on her knees to the level of the child she was babysitting and nannying, and she'd say, you is good, and you is kind, and you is important. That is what is known as a positive introjection. We need to surround ourselves as adults with people who figuratively get down on their knees to us and say to us with words, literally, or with their actions, you are kind and you are loving and you are important. And so the third step is to search for people who will identify the good in us and help summon it out of us. And that's what therapy is about. That's what support groups are about. That's what good friends are about. And one important piece that I call the Khmer people. So I'll say it again. The Khmer people is spelled C'Mere. And they are those very small but important group of people in your lives who literally say, Khmer. The ones who say, Khmer, have a seat next to me. Khmer, let me tell you a secret. Khmer, I just want to love you. The Khmer people don't judge. The Khmer people don't blame, and they don't fix because they know that you are not broken. Here's the job of a Khmer person. The Khmer person receives. They're the grandparents in our lives. And they're the energetic people who carry the energy of the grandparents, who don't try to stop us, but who are there when we make the mistake and then wrap their arms around us in a cloak of kindness and say, I'm here. I receive you. They say, Khmer. It's a really important point. Number one, take the words out of your pockets and accept that's what you believe. Number two, understand where it came from. Who gave you that message? Number three, surround yourself with people who can rewrite the message, rescript the story so that you get to hear the truth about you. And number four, find the Khmer people that give you permission to be exactly who you are, especially in those moments when you don't want to be that person. They still say to you, Khmer, I want to give you some dessert.
Exactly. And I want listeners to know it is possible. I've done it. I came from an early childhood trauma. I don't know your personal story, but many people can get through this to the other side. It's a lifetime process. We stumble, we get up, we make mistakes. But I will tell you, the more you get it right, the more you get it right until mm-hmm. it really transcends and evolves. And one day you get up in the morning and you'll look out and you'll go, I'm not that person anymore. When did that happen? And it's like baby steps. And I think you're fabulous. I love you. Oh my God. Let's end this. And I just want to tell you, Scott, I love you. I praise you. I appreciate you. You are God's child. Great things happen to you. Nothing can stop it. And you go forth, baby, with your sexy little self and your persona and your good works and your education. And ladies, there are total people out there, great men, because there's a lot of us who have had daddy issues. And every time I meet a good man, I'm like, okay, there's another one. I mean, and then maybe another one, but it's my triggers too, because the more I get healed, the more I evolve and other people will evolve to draw those Kinnears into their life. Thank you for being a Kinnear for me and other people listening. Once again, you can go to my website, aprilkirkwood.com. Everything will be loaded, as well as his website is www.scottfried.com. And I was raised in a Yiddish community, so I should have known Fried. He's fabulous. Get his books and listen to, as a parent, this is a great message for you, as a woman, as a man, as someone who is stuck and keeps seeing their life nothing but one traumatic incident as another. Let's stop the trauma. And I will tell you, there is more going on here than we see to the visual eye. Let's go inside and then come out. Blessings.
Blessings.
Love you. Love Bye. You. Take care.
Thank you for joining the April Kirkwood Show, the podcast which helps develop and strengthen the soulful self. Please join the conversation at aprilkirkwood.com and inspire us with your own story. Remember, your body is the temple of your soul. You are loved. You are God's child. Great things happen to you. Nothing can stop it.